So I'm not Aaron Schofield. Just saying that. But I do have the pleasure of introducing him to us. Aaron and I have known each other, I guess, for a couple years now through his involvement with ChildBridge and my involvement with that through Grace Church. And so this is something we've wanted him to come and to speak for several months now, actually, in dealing with Care Portal, which I'm sure he'll talk about as our church gets more plugged into Care Portal and that ministry that is connected through ChildBridge, really being brought here as part of ChildBridge. And so Aaron has been part of ChildBridge for 2 years now, and we just have the pleasure of meeting with him, working with him in our community, and just as a drop in the bucket of what ChildBridge is, they work with orphan and adoptive children. And so he'll explain a lot more of that. So I mentioned he's been with ChildBridge for 2 years, and before that he was a pastor in Big Timber. And so he didn't want me to go into too much detail, and so I'll leave it at that. And just please join me in welcoming Aaron as he comes in and speaks to us about God's heart of adoption and just that calling and how we are to join in that with him. So thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Jacob and Matt for allowing me to be here today. I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer before we dive into God's word. So if you would join me in prayer. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for the beauty of the snow and all that it represents through the shed blood of your cross and how your forgiveness of our sins makes us white. Father, I pray that as we open up your word, that your voice would speak to each one of us, that your call in our lives would resonate, and that as we leave these doors today, Father, that we would live out your call in our lives and in through our families, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have had the wonderful privilege of getting to know your pastor and Matt and Jacob and the Rajowskis and the Riddell's over the last couple of years, and man, I love this church and all that you're doing. You guys are doing some phenomenal work for the kingdom of God, and it just resonates even through the announcements. And just to highlight on those boxes, those Just For You boxes, it might seem kind of small. It might seem like, why are we doing this? But just to give you a little shed light into what takes place whenever a child is removed. Many times, whenever they are removed from some of the worst situations you and I could ever dream of or imagine. And I'm not going to get into too much of that detail today, but just think of the worst, and that's probably what a foster child has gone through. They get removed with little to nothing, perhaps even a garbage bag of belongings. They had to leave their favorite stuffed animal, their favorite blanket. They had to leave their clothes. They might not have even eaten for the last day, and it's in the middle of the night when they are removed. Social worker brings them back to the local office here and is frantically trying to find a placement for that child in the middle of the night sometimes. They have nothing for them to eat. They have nothing for them to play with. That child has nothing to bring with them where they go next. And so that little box that is going to be packed from you with little trinkets and socks and little goodies and games to play, and a box that they can call their own and take with them no matter where they go, means the world to a child who has nothing. So from the children who you might not ever see or meet, I want to say thank you for them. Because what you're doing for them is giving them a gift like nobody has ever given them. And we appreciate the partnership. We appreciate it, Pastor Chris. And Jacob is right. I have worked with ChildBridge for now going on two and a half years. Been a part of Care Portal and getting that launched here as of last February. With now nearly 15 different churches and also another half a dozen or eight in Lake County. And you'll hear me repeat this a little later, but to date we have seen over 115 children be impacted through Care Portal and the ministry churches like yours have done. And again, that might sound kind of minor, but let me just mention what that means. 115 children have literally had their physical needs met by the local body of church as they entered a foster home. With the foster home did not have to supply for them right then. 115 children, out of some of those, potentially, some of the churches stepped in and literally kept a family together all by serving that family with the physical needs that they had at that time and kept our foster care numbers from growing. That's what you as a church have done. Or 115 children, some of them have actually gotten to go back to their birth parents because they've worked their treatment plan. They've done all that they can do, and all they had left was just some physical need that had to be met before the state could reunite these children back with their family. And the church stepped in to bring a family back together right here in our county. 115 plus times. So thank you. I was asked a few weeks ago to consider joining you this morning as we look at Orphan Sunday and the Orphan National Adoption Month on the theology of God, the theology of foster and adoption. Now, whenever I break those words down, that is a very big topic. It doesn't matter where you flip in here. The study of God concerning adoption is nearly on every page of Scripture. But then I started thinking, okay, well, what is the definition of foster care at its core? And this is what I gather at its core after 2.5 years of being in this field. At its core, foster care is all about the opportunity to keep children safe while their families hopefully get better, and also provide an opportunity of grace, love, redemption, relational connection, so family units can hopefully be reconciled and redeemed back together. At its core, that is what foster care looks like. I know we get these bad images painted across the media, but I want you to think that is what foster care is. At its core, at its foundation, that is their goal, to keep children safe, to show grace, love, compassion, redemption in family units. And whenever you think about adoption, the definition I see is in adoption is this, that is the act of love, the acceptance of an individual or group of children, individuals, into your family who was not your own child. Someone who was not your own, someone whose problems you did not create in their life, you welcome them in to be an equal with your children, to receive the same last name, to receive the inheritance, to receive the same house, to receive the same permanency, to receive the same future opportunities, the same everything. That is, at its core, what adoption is all about. Welcoming someone who is not your own into your life so that they might have a brighter future, see forgiveness, see what love and family looks like. And so whenever you begin to flip through the pages of Scripture, you really begin to see God's heart, God's love, God's passion for every individual who has been or will be born into this world. God's desire to see them adopted ultimately into His family. God's grace, love, and relational connection to help us begin to be reconciled and redeemed to Him. Similar to the purpose of foster care in adoption. And so I have titled today's message this, that is, Foster Care and Adoption, the Real Life Picture of God's Heart for Us. Foster care and adoption is the real life picture of God's heart for you and I. And hopefully you will see, you will hear, you will be reminded of today that God loves you. And He loves you. And He loves you in the back, and He loves you here in the front. He loves the child cowering in the corner right now in some home in Montana because he is fearful and she is fearful. God loves them right where they are. God loves the widow who's sitting in her home today shivering cold because she needs and wants someone to surround her and support. God loves the person who's new to town, who has no extended family, and as we approach the holiday seasons, they're wondering, where can I celebrate the holidays? Because nobody knows I exist. God loves the person who's living under the bridge, is all around this world and in the huts and in the villages of Italy, as Pastor Matt shared before, of the 70,000 populated people who have not one single church. God loves them. God loves you. And that excites, that gets me fired up to think that that's the adoption that he speaks of in his word for us and for them. That gets my blood boiling and that gets my pulse racing exciting. And if that doesn't excite you, then maybe you need to check your pulse this morning. As a matter of fact, kids, you have a little assignment I want to challenge you with this week as you go home. I want to challenge you to turn to your parents or turn to your grandparents who are here with you today and say, how excited are you that God loves you? Be a pulse checker for us this week. Walk up to your parents and stick your hand on their wrist and say, how excited are you that God loves you? Because your moms and dads and grandpas who have been adopted and redeemed into the life of God and the family of God should be excited about that love. And so the lesson I want you to take away here today, if you hear nothing else from me today other than the challenge for the kids, if you hear nothing else today, this is what I want you to walk away with. That foster care and adoption journey provides us the real life picture, the real life story and image of God's love for us. It does. But here's the other part. How we choose to interact in this story, how we choose to interject our lives into this story and this picture and this show, reveals to a hurting world the love and the message of God's hope and salvation to those around us. How you and I interact with those in the foster adoptive journey shows to the world around us God's love for them. And I love how, as I sat with lunch with Pastor Chris this week, how he stated over lunch this thought that I thought was very worth writing down and repeating for us today, and that is this, that God has never asked us to be or do what he has not already done and been for us. Let me just repeat that in case there's too many B's and D's in that statement. God has never asked us to be or do what he has not already been and done for us. He has redeemed us. He asks us to redeem others. He has forgiven us. He asks us to forgive others. He has become an adopted father for us and adopted us into his family. He asks us to consider how we might do that for others. You see, foster and adoptive families, child welfare professionals, those wrapping around these families who are wrapping around the hurting children are literally the living portrait of God's heart in real life. You get a glimpse into God's heart whenever you hear and you see a foster and adoptive parent get slapped across the face, cursed at, said, I hate you, having children run away from them, and they stand there and say, we love you. Our arms are open wide for you. We want you to be welcomed into our family. As the hate is being portrayed and the rebellion is going on, you get a glimpse into the tears and compassion of Jesus as he wept over the cities who are lost without a shepherd, as you watch a social worker carry the weight and the stress of the choices of a child's life in their arms, as they go to bed wrestling with the decision, did I remove that child early enough? Did I remove that child properly? Did I? The weight of that 25 times over for every case they carry as they weep over the hurting children in our valley, in our state. You get a glimmer of the hope and the realization of a future and the power and the meaning of being adopted into God's family whenever you sit in the courtroom and you hear that judge slam down as they say, you are now a family. as they look at the mom and the dad and they say, do you want this child as your own child? And the mom and dad say, yes. And then they turn to the child and they say, do you want them to become your family? And the child says, yes. The beauty and the power and the permanency of adoption that's lived out in the courtroom is a living example of God's adoption and what He has done for us through the cross. So as we dive into this real life picture of God's heart for us as seen in foster care and adoption, we could spend weeks flipping through the Word here. We could spend several weeks examining what Christ and what God has done. But I want to take a look at three concepts that are kind of spread throughout a couple different passages today that were both revealed in Scripture of who God is, but also an invitation and a challenge for us to live out. The first concept we are going to come across is this, that is, family is foundational to God. Family is foundational. And as we think about that concept, I'm just wonder and want you to think as we continue diving into this, what does family mean to you? What does family mean to you? Now, as we're approaching Thanksgiving and Christmas, you're already probably thinking of the big cookies and the big gathered around the table meals. And that's right. That's family to many of us. For me, I think of family and I think of, well, I've got a pretty good understanding. I'm called to be the spiritual head of my house and raise my two children up in the ways of the Lord. That's my role in the family. I think of being the role model for my children and loving my wife. That's who I am called to be in this family. I think of family as being full of love and laughter and memories, as you, especially right now, as you sit around a crackling fire and play games. Family is full of safety and warmth and love. That's what I think of whenever I think of family. But for the nearly 3,800 children in the Montana foster care right now, their view and their understanding of family is drastically different. Their view of family is fear. Their view of family is, I don't know what I'm going to eat for the next days, weeks. Their view of family is, I wonder where I'm going tonight after school. I wonder where I'll be sleeping. I wonder who's going to be coming over to our house all throughout the night. Their view of family is I wonder what kind of crime or drug deals or if the police are going to come to our house tonight. For the nearly 3,800 children who are in foster care, their view of family is full of questions. What happens whenever I turn the lights out at dark? What happens whenever I go hungry? Who's going to reach their hand down and pull me into their arms whenever I cry? Who's going to soothe me? Am I going to get a monster whenever I go home, or am I going to get a loving parent whenever I go home? That's their meaning of family. So whenever I look at my meaning of what family looks like over here, and probably yours resembles a lot like mine, that's what family looks like for you. But then I step into what a family looks like for a child who is in the midst of foster care or who should be in foster care, and I see what their looks like. I want to step back and say then, what is family? Am I living with a right definition of family? Is this family definition spectrum what God had in store whenever He created us? So if you would turn to Psalm chapter 68, beginning in verse 5 and through the first part of 6. According to the Scriptures, we see God uses the picture of family as this real life image of His desire. And really, it is His primary redemptive story of bringing us into His family. And when we look at Scripture, we see a drastic different view of God our Father. Psalm 68, verse 5 begins like this. Speaking of God, He is a father of the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. Is God in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. Flip over to Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 7 through 17. We continue seeing how foundational family is to God whenever we read Romans 8, 15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, which we are able to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Again, according to Scripture, we see God use the family structure as His primary image of redemption, both eternally and earthly redemption of when we are fatherless, He sets us and He becomes our Father and sets us in families. When we are a widow, He is the defender and sets us with families, those who are lonely. For God, family is foundational. It is this primary image He used. So I can't help but imagine that when God says the word family throughout the Scripture, that He thinks globally. He thinks family is every tongue, tribe, nation, color, socioeconomic standing. It doesn't matter. God looks out at us in this congregation, in this valley, and says, family. You are family if you have been adopted through the blood of Christ. I can't help but think when God thinks of family, He looks out at you and I and He says to Himself, as He stated in Genesis 3:9, when we are lost and when we are without Him, He looks at us and He says, "Where are you? Where are you? I want you with me." And he describes His love as He shows in John 3:16 that I loved you so much and I want you a part of my family so bad I sent my Son to die on the cross so that you would become part of my family. Just think about all that's offered and done and who we become when we are a part of God's family. Adoption brings redemption when we are welcomed into God's family. Family welcomes the lonely, it's abandoned, it's hurting. Those who are welcomed in. Family is a place of refuge for God and throughout Scripture. It is bonded through the blood and through the relationship of Jesus Christ so that no matter where you go in this world, if you share Christ as your brother, then we are all part of His family. Family provides hope and healing and connection. So if this is what God has done and offered for us when we join His family, then it begs the question, do we really have a correct understanding of what family is? Or are we living in some skewed understanding? Whether that's solely over here where family is just full of love and laughter when really there is also this description of family that is filled with hurt and anger and stress and confusion. God says, "I am a place of refuge." God wants to bring these two together because in Him we find redemption. And that is what He wants us to live out in this world. That is the very thing He has done for us. When fear was driven out, we were given a new name. We have become part of something bigger. Loneliness and abandonment is left when we join God's family. And so if the church answered yes to one very simple question, all the needs of the hurting children around us would be met. And that question is simply this: are you willing? Are you willing? Are you and I willing to live the example of God's definition of family to the hurting world around us? Am I willing to welcome a broken, hurting, lonely child into my home? Am I willing to look out into the world that is hurt and run to it with arms wide open and say, become part of my family because I can direct you to one who provides all hope and healing? Am I willing to surround or support a family who is bringing into their home these hurting children? You have foster and adoptive families right here. How are you wrapping around them as a family? You see, when an 8-year-old is crying in the hallway at school, like I just heard about here in our county, asking, why did my birth mom have to do drugs while I was in her belly? Or when a little child steals food and hoards it away because they're so used to not having a meal. Or whenever there is a whiny, dirty, runny-nosed child standing at the doors of the church saying, will you be my family? What's our response? You see, it's at this moment that we have the choice to step into this real life story and picture to show and to share the love of God to the world around us. The thing that drives us at Childbridge each and every day with broken hearts is the mission and vision of finding and supporting and equipping one more potential foster and adoptive family who's willing to step into this call. To partner with one more church like yours who's willing to step in and shine the light of Christ through boxes that seem small maybe. Through care portal partnerships. Through families and wrapping around those foster kids and those foster families. The hope and the healing of these children and the families they come from is found in a special and unique you as a church, as families, as individuals. Because we know what it's like to be hurting, to be lonely, to be rejected and fearful, and be adopted, redeemed, full of hope and joy. And so as we continue this look at foster care and adoption, this real life picture of God's heart for us, we come across the second concept, again, that's both revealed in Scripture and inviting us to live out, and that is this relational love is longed for by everyone around us. Relational connection, relational love is really longed for. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 12. We get the image and the scene is Christ washing the disciples' feet. And he starts here in verse 12. And so when he washed off their feet, taking his garment, he sat down again and he said to them, do you know what I have done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you have said well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet one of one another. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you and to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Skip down, if you would, to verse 33, where he is announcing his departure and Christ shares with the disciples, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And catch this, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Relational love is longed for. Jesus understood this. Jesus understood this because he saw it in his own family heritage. If you backtrack all the way back to Ruth, where Ruth is standing after they lost their husbands and after they lost their father-in-law, and Naomi and Ruth and their sister-in-law were traveling back with Naomi, and Ruth says, "Naomi, wherever you go, I want to go. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people." Ruth then falls in love with a man named Boaz, and he experienced and saw redemption in restoration in Naomi's heart and in this family unit, through all because of this relational love that was shown, which then eventually gave birth to King David, which then eventually gave birth to Joseph, the husband to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Ruth was drawn into a family who was not her own because of the relational love she saw and experienced while she was with the people of God. The effects of that were eternal because down the road came Jesus Christ. Consider the phrase in Acts where it was describing the early church and its leaders as those who turned the world upside down and people were afraid of them. You see, they were known because of their relationship and their connection to each other. Probably thinking, well, this isn't the world we live in today. We live in a world where your relationship status is determined by your friend's request on Facebook or your followers on Instagram and Twitter and all of the other social media components there, where that's friendship, that's relationship. But you know something, I get to sit in with therapists and counselors and people in the state office and people across this community who right now are realizing, you know, medication is good and it helps temporarily. Therapy is good, but it helps temporarily. The thing that these people in our community are longing for and are desperately seeking out is we need relationships. Our clients, our people, the only hope for transformation of these people is relationships. And right here in John, we hear Jesus say, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." The call and the invitation for us as a church is imminent. People are longing for this love, this relational connection that Jesus called us to do so long ago. They're desperate for it right now. And all it takes is one. Where does this come from, though? Where does our drive to be relationally in love with people who are not like us? It comes from our excitement of God and the love He has for us. That's why I challenge your kids to ask you that question this week of how excited are you that God loves you? Because there is something magnetic and drawing into the family of God whenever we love one another like Christ loved us. People begin to ask where and why, and families are restored. There's a story of a little baby Kay who was exposed to drugs throughout her time that she spent in her mom's womb. She was placed immediately in a foster family who attends a church and who's a dynamite single mom who loved baby Kay for the first year of her life while her mom went through treatment and worked towards reunification. And right before baby Kay's first birthday, biological mom and baby Kay were reunited. While that's a beautiful picture, that's not the redemption story incomplete. Because what's behind the scenes is baby Kay's foster mom, baby Kay's foster mom's family wrapped around that biological mom, welcomed her into them with relational love, and welcomed this mom into their family. And now, months later, baby Kay, her birth mom, are reunited and sitting in the church with the foster mom every so often, hearing about what it's like to be welcomed into God's family, all because of the relational love they showed to her early on. That's the redemption of God at work in us that He has called us to do in this real life picture. The question, though, is are we going to live with relational love and that type of connection with the world around us? The last concept I want us to take a look at very briefly is this. Everyone, whether you are young, old, single, married, empty nesters, established families, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're sitting in this room right now, whether this is your first time or not, everyone has a part to play in this journey. Everyone has a part to interact in this story. Romans chapter 12, if you would turn back to Romans with me. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes to the Roman church this. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you be present in your present bodies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. You see, the world is waiting for us. You and I have been transformed by the adoption of God, and they are waiting for us to engage them in this love. For such a time as this, the church has been called to become the hands and the feet of the body of Christ. And some of you today are going to be called and are thinking about entering this foster care adoption journey, and I invite you to come talk with me after. Some of you are sitting here wondering, what can I do if I can't foster and adopt? I want you to know support can come in many ways, from a shoebox to care portal to wrapping around a family. You can become the critical line of support. And I invite you to think about, as you head out this week, what gifts, what talents, what has God given me? How can I interject, and who do I know that's hurting or in crisis that you could begin to help? Whether that's a single mom or a foster child or a hurting and stressed out child welfare professional. Kids, ask your parents to go over that with you. Ask them, what is it God has given me? What talents do I have that I can use to glorify God? You see, while the stories of foster children are never easy to hear, thankfully God has given us an example. He has shown us that He wants us to take part in this journey, in this story. It doesn't take much to enter into this real life opportunity to show the world around us God's love. It doesn't take much. For some of you, it's calling to become a foster family to a child in need. For some, God has laid someone on your heart. Go and be the family and the love that they are desperate for. For some, God is calling you to enter this picture in another way. And I invite you to come and talk with me. But for all of us here today, God is calling us, simply asking us, are you willing to step in and to be who I have called you to be and do what I have done for you already? Thank you, Pastor Chris.
Thank you. Passion ministries, they require a greater compassion for us than our own personal disdain for inconvenience.